I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Liberalism with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB,
X-Chicken,
Weebum.
Damn right I am.
And Rob.
Here we go!
News and Liberalism.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to News Family 4, week of 311. With me, XV, Rob. XV, fresh from a toy hunt. A successful toy hunt. Is that right?
Well, semi-successful. I would have liked to get, like, you know, a ratchet or something. But
I'll settle
for really cheap Dark of the Moon crap.
Yes, a turkey, in fact. You got, like, the turkey or a vulture. I don't know what he was supposed to be. Was he kind of supposed to be, like, a vulture, I think?
I believe it transforms from turkey to buzzard and back.
Okay, terrific, terrific. So, laser beak for like $4. Like 9 months after Hasbro wanted you to buy it, something like that.
At least. Awesome.
Okay, so on this show, guys, we're going to talk about DLC. DLC stands for downloadable content, or if you're a little more snarky, in this case it stands for disc locked content. This past week Street Fighter Cross Second came out, and we knew that the game was going to have DLC later this year in the fall, and that DLC was going to be pretty substantial. It's going to be 12 new characters, new costumes, and I think a couple new stages. So it would essentially be what would in the past be probably a new game and a new disc, like a super version of this game, a super turbo version, if you will. But it was going to be downloadable content. Capcom said you will be able to download it. In fact, you'll only have to buy one disc for this game ever, and the rest of the content will be digital. Well, it turns out that the disc has the DLC on it. It turns out that the disc has the DLC fully intact and ready to play on the disc. And that if you're a hacker of, I would say, average skills, you can hack out all the content on the disc. But Capcom would rather you wait 9 months and pay them $15 to $20 for this DLC. So as you guys can imagine, the video game community has had a lot of things to say about this. Most of them unkind to Capcom. And I'm going to ask you guys in the first segment, let's talk about this. So is there a difference in your head between content that is not on the disc and content that isn't on the disc? Are we just a victim of, say, technology now, where, you know, we have hackers in the community that can really pick apart a disc and find these secrets? Or is this, you know, is this something that we should be outraged about? Is this something that hackers just happen to find, and Capcom is doing something that may have been done in the past? They've just never been caught before. Rob, I know you've had hot opinions on things kind of like this, kind of related to this, old versus new, used versus new, that kind of thing. So when you read this story, when you look at the facts, what is your reaction?
Well, you know, for one thing, I kind of think it's against the spirit of Capcom's previous fighting game updates, where those are all changes that were made later. I don't like it. The one thing that comes to mind is that Namco actually got in similar trouble with Beautiful Katamari for the 360. There's a fair bit of DLC on for that, and it's all on disc, and you just pay to unlock it. So Tekken may not have been the only ideas Capcom borrowed from Namco for this game. But I think it's a very bad idea, mainly because you're going to get caught.
What you're saying is that it's okay to do this if nobody finds out you're doing it.
No, what I'm saying is, if you're going to do this, if you're going to plan all this from the beginning, leave it off the damn disc and make people download it later. I don't know why that should make a difference, psychologically speaking, but again, it's the thing of, if I buy a disc, it's mine, and so now there is a part of something that is mine that you're going to force me to pay for a key to get to later. If you know, if it takes me 20 minutes to come off a server, that's more inconvenient, but somehow more satisfying.
You know what's weird is, too, that... So, say, just for PR's sake, they do that, and I think that's probably the right thing to do, right? You've got that content ready to go now, but you leave it off the disk because you don't want anybody to find it, because it's impossible not to get caught these days. So if you hold off on releasing it later, it still doesn't change the fact that when the game was developed and finished, you had the content and you made a conscious choice that we're going to set this content aside and we're going to charge again for the users to access it. So I think it makes it still just as dirty, but somehow it completes the manipulation of the customer. Somehow it's like it closes the loop nicely. So all this remains behind the curtain.
Well, there's another stopping point with this, which is that if the content is made and it's available even, you know, the first day the game's out, but you still have to go download it, there's kind of the implication or assumption that, okay, the disc is packed full of as much stuff as they can put on it, and there's not room to put this stuff on the disc when it's being made, so we're going to offer this to buy optionally. It's a complete game all by itself, and we made supplemental content that just will not fit in the game. You know, it's not necessarily, okay, we're going to set this aside and make them download it, even though we could have put it on the disc day one, you know. The optimistic person might assume, okay, maybe they just could not put all of this on the one game disc.
Yeah, it's weird. We start to get into the psychology of, like, the physical game, too, right? So, I mean, like, the disc, like XV, like you're saying, like, the disc has a finite storage capacity, and you can just bullshit and say, we've reached it, you know, sorry.
Yeah.
And that's a complete lie. And I guess hackers could certainly probably look at the disc, figure out the capacity, and say, well, they said that, but, you know, there's still this this good hunk of memory left on this disc that could be utilized. Capcom could come back and say, well, that may be true, but we ran out of time, too. So we didn't have space on the disc, and we ran out of time, too. So, and that is unprovable. So...
Well, actually, though, I would say if they've got DLC ready, you know, within a day or a week or so of the game's street date, that kind of disproves the ran out of time part to some extent.
Yeah,
but they were
so,
obviously developing it with the game up till the last minute.
Now, that's true. So, I guess in this case, I mean, they would hold off releasing it or even talking about it in terms of, like, it being complete for months. Like, you know, for 9 months or so, which again would be a lie. So that the information would be sitting there for months and months and months, but it would be, like I said, like a complete lie. So they wouldn't be caught red-handed.
It'd be a comfortable lie too, because it would serve to, well, I don't want to reuse the word, but it would serve to comfort the consumer, because it'd be like, okay, well, this stuff just wasn't there before to release with the game or to release any earlier with the game. You know, it makes you feel better about the purchase you made 9 months ago, even if it is an illusion and you're even somewhat consciously aware of, okay, they're just giving me a load of shit here.
Yes. You know? Yes. So, Rob, I know, again, since you've kind of talked a little bit about used versus new, so we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show, but we're already getting to the point where it looks like the age of no physical media for video games is coming up on us. So we're going to get to a point where you download your games. There is no physical representation or expression of the game. There is no physical thing that holds the game. It's all information. That makes this very subjective and slippery. So you don't know at what point in the development the maker has decided to let you pay for it. You don't know at what point they've decided, well, this looks good enough, let's ask $60 for it, and then we'll come back, and when we finish it, we'll ask for another $10 or $20. without the disc, there's no, like, sense of closure, I guess. With it, when a game is released, it's just, here it is, we feel like it's good enough, you know? So what are your feelings on that? Like, when we get to an age where we get games essentially with no, like, concrete feeling of finality to it. We're just kind of given, like, a game in whatever form it's decided upon. I mean, is that going to change your kind of feeling on, you know, I own, when I buy it, I own it, I expect it to be completed? I mean, how does that change your perceptions on, you know, ownership of a game?
I seeing that a lot of the issues I have with, you know, the issue of used versus new and how DLC relates to that are entirely psychological, even though the issues, you know, will not have changed much, I have a feeling not having a disc will make me a little bit more accepting of it, dumb as it is. The one thing about, you know, the one thing about the scenario you described, those that, you know, for years we've watched console games, thanks to, you know, thanks to high-speed internet and the availability of patches, we've watched console games go to a kind of PC format, because for years I've seen PC gamers described as unpaid beta testers. When it ships, you're not necessarily getting a full and working game. Now we're kind of expanding on that to the point where you are not only paying for the privilege of being a beta tester, you get to pay again for the full, complete, and finished game. It's going to be an act of marketing genius to sell that to people successfully.
Well, see, now, for me, when I think of the whole, okay, no physical media, just downloaded games, all I think of is, boy, didn't the PSP Go do great?
Well, it's going to be a sad day when the PSP Go is what's forced upon us, you know, where there's, this kind of is what it is, and if you don't want it, suck it. This is the only way to, like, to get your new games. It's gonna be sad. What's gonna be sad too is I could see a day where, essentially, lots of games are free to play, or they are marketed, Rob, to your point, as much cheaper. So, like, remember the days when games were $60 new? Well, now they're just $25, but you've got to pay three or four times down the road to get the full game. We're not gonna, like, tell you that, but that's how it's marketed. It's you know, remember when you had to pay an arm and a leg to get to play Street Fighter, the newest Street Fighter? Now you only got to pay $25 to play with half the roster and half the backgrounds, and 8 months from now you can pay $25 again for another round of characters, and then $25 again for another round of characters.
But see, I actually wouldn't be entirely opposed to that, because, you know, using your Street Fighter example, you know, get your core roster of characters in there, the basic popular arenas, and then later on let people, you know, pick and choose between what upgrade sets to get later on and pay for their special characters or particular environments. You know, if I can just pay $25 and get the core experience that I want out of the game, I'd be perfectly happy with that.
I think that's great, and I hope that's how it works. The one thing that I fear is that
it won't.
Yeah, I think the one way they'll certainly, like, get us that way is that they'll save some of the most popular characters and, you know, package them with a bunch of throwaway characters or throwaway content and say, oh, well, you want Ken with your Ryu? Well, you're going to have to pay, you know, an extra $15 to have your Ken. And by the way, he comes with a bunch of characters nobody cares about, to make the price seem more worthwhile. It's kind of like, I guess, cable packages where, and that's going to suck. Okay, so guys, when we come back, we're going to talk about new releases for the week. Some interesting ones this week. We're going to talk about Mass Effect 3. It's popular. It's making money. Spoiler alert. We're going to round up rumors for the 720. Some of them are really interesting. And then, of course, we have the random hypothetical. This is New Soundwave.
Of the bunch, you know him well. It's the last member of the DK crew. This Kong's so strong, he isn't funny. Can you make a family cry out for money? Can you pick up a boulder with relative ease? Make a crushing rock seem such a breeze. He may move slow, he can jump high, but this Kong's one hell of a fight. Come on, Cranky, take it to the fridge. Walnuts, peanuts, pineapple smells, grapes, melons, oranges, and coconut shells. Oh yeah! Walnuts, peanuts, pineapple smells, grapes, melons, oranges, and coconut shells. Oh yeah!
New Soundwave.
New releases for the week of 3/11. Channel, guys, channel your energy. So first of all, a game 99% of the people do not know about, Journey for the PSN. Journey is an artistic game. You will play through it in about 3 hours. It's kind of in the vein of Eco and Shadow of Colossus. Very nice, very nice. If you don't know about it, chances are you don't. You should go watch a trailer, and then when you watch the trailer, you will want it. Next.
So what is the story of that game, though?
Well, the story opens up, well, it's interesting. So when the game opens up, it opens up with no context, and you're not told what to do. All you see is you're alone in a desert, and you see a mountain or a temple far off in the distance with a light at the top of it. And you figure out that that's the only place you really have point of reference, so you should head towards it. The entire game is you traveling across a desert to get to this point off in the distance. And hilarity ensues. Actually, interesting things ensue. It's not necessarily comedy, I'm just saying. But it's one of those where, you know, it's very artistic, it's very understated, and the whole thing is in 3 hours, and the game essentially tells you nothing. And you figure it out as you go.
And I'm going to guess from the title that the point of this is that it's about the journey and not actually reaching the temple.
Rimshot for that guy. XV, the deep thinker on the show. Naruto Shippuden, Ultimate Ninja Storm Generations. A multi-dimensional, multi-timeline...
Multi-syllable.
Multi-syllable. anime-tastic fighter. For the usual systems. Tales of Grace F. F, like MK, Mark, anime, super happy time things that you tack on.
Super ethical.
Super
now,
ethical.
Okay, is this Tales of Grace, is it a series or is this just one game?
I you know what, if I had done my research, I would know if it was part of the Tales of series. Rob,
I think
I would guess this is no coincidence. I think you're right, Rob, too. I think this is part of the Tales of series, which is a series of very anime... RPGs of various quality.
I was thinking that might explain the F, which is unusual to have in Japanese naming and titles just by itself.
It's not very common.
If they're using that as a sequencing notation.
Yeah, I think this is actually a port to another system. I think Tales of Graces was originally available on something else, and this is a port, hence the F.
F that. So, Silent Hill Downpour, the ninth Silent Hill, followed closely by the very different in flavor Mario Party 9 for the Wii.
Oh, hope.
Yes, I. Oh boy,
see,
gosh.
Now that you mention it that way, it makes me like, okay, Silent Hill Party.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yakuza Dead Souls, another Yakuza game. FIFA Street, if you like soccer. And then Ridge Racer for the Vita. Metacritic, 43. It sucks. 43 is Latin for ripoff, because this game is working on the premise of a lower retail cost. It's like $25 versus the 40 that most Vita games cost. 40 to 50 that most Vita games cost. But it's full of microtransactions and DLC. So as you play, you are forced to pay for actual, you know, stuff to do. That is not popular on the internet.
So, I guess not.
Yeah, so 43 seconds.
Well, maybe if more games start doing it, they'll just learn to accept it.
okay, like an abusive relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Well,
like a...
I mean, that's how a lot of innovations start anyway. One unpopular move that other people copy because it's financially successful, and people just are like, okay, well, we're kind of stuck with it, aren't we?
That's true. I mean, just look at your experience.
You can't really divorce Capcom.
No. You can put, like, a restraining order on them and hope that it holds, but... You usually end up with a dead cat on your doorstep with a Mega Man helmet on. It's very weird.
Yeah.
It's very uncomfortable. Mass Effect 3 has shipped 3.5 million units. Very good for them. No surprise there, though. It is the best game BioWare has ever made, according to the developer.
Is that 3.5 million just physical copies, or does that track the like the Steam downloads, too?
I'm pretty sure that's physical. That's just physical. So Steam is gravy on top of that. Rumor mill roundup. The latest 720 rumors. These are pretty interesting, guys. And they're all over the freaking map. So the latest one is no disk drive at all. It will be digital download only, making obviously used games gone and DLC here to stay. Opposite of that rumor is the other rumor that says not only will it have a disk drive, but it'll play Blu-ray discs. That's weird, because Blu-ray is really Sony's baby, so I don't know if
it's really Sony's baby, but if they're seeing it as, you know, the next step in home video, like the transition from VHS to DVD, it would make sense to make sure that it follows the standard.
Yeah, I guess so. I think the next step in home video is...
Netflix.
DLC. Yeah, so streaming. Also, some other rumors for the 720, the successor to the 360. Could boast a tablet controller, a ripoff of the Wii U, cutting off the Wii U at its knees, cutting Mario down in the parking lot with a hood on. I can see Bill Gates in a black hood with a nightstick just coming underneath Mario's knees, just hacking him, and then flying away on a jetpack.
You know, really though, for the development of the successor to the 360, I could see Microsoft being like, okay, let's take what the PS3 did well, which was to try to focus all home media into one unit, including video games, movies, music, and then let's take the innovation Nintendo's doing on this other side with the tablet and, you know, probably party games and stuff as cheap DLC. You know, let's combine that all into one thing and undercut the going prices on this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where you would get your market winner right there.
Yeah.
You're a smart man. Hey, you know, well, Warner Brothers thought they were smart, but apparently not smart enough for Australia, so guys, Mortal Kombat for the Vita has been banned in Australia. Yes, it is too hot for Australia. Now, you might ask yourself, hey, didn't I hear, wasn't Mortal Kombat 9 for the consoles banned in Australia? You would be correct. So, Warner Brothers thought, well, it's worth a shot to get MK for the Vita passed. Why? Because we're going to have this defense. Their defense. Because Mortal Kombat's on a smaller screen, the impact of the violence is also smaller.
Uh-huh.
So yes, again, porn on a smaller screen is also less exciting. And romantic comedies on a smaller screen are less
infuriating.
Yes, they're less irritating. That's right. You want to kill yourself less, obviously. No, Crocodile Dundee, Paul Hogan, and the rest were not enthused. They were not convinced. And the Vita is banning... It has a banned game on its list for Australia. Oh, well, sad. What are you going to do? Good day, mate.
Little sad trombone.
Sad trombone. Little one.
Small screen.
It's on a smaller screen. Yes, very nice. Very nice. Okay, guys, time... For the random hypothetical, wow, deja vu. I feel like I've asked this one before, but maybe that's just in my head. So, today, it's a good one. It's a good one. It's full of villains and villainry, and no severed body parts, no exchange of millions of dollars, no sonic tongue action. Necessarily. I don't know. So, you have two choices. Starting next week, you have a new job, a new career. A new pursuit in life. And it's one of these two things, and you must decide. It is become a He-Man villain or a G1 Decepticon? Which one is it going to be? Now, I must say, while you guys are noodling over this question you've never heard before, as a He-Man villain, you will be ripped. You will have a 6-pack. You'll have a 12-pack. You'll have muscles that aren't supposed to be there. You'll also probably be wearing a loincloth and boots, and that's about it. As a Decepticon, you'll be huge, although not human. You will be constantly dodging laser fire, never getting really hit. And half the time, there's no camera crew around. You're not a part of this episode. So, guys, I'll start with Rob. What do you think, buddy? What are you going to choose?
I think I'm going to go with the He-Man villain just because I'm not sure being a robot is a career choice I would particularly want to make. The exception being that if I were to end up with, say, scent-based powers like Stinkor, Decepticon, in a heartbeat.
Ah, but see, once you make the choice, you're stuck with it, and it doesn't matter what powers you get, you're just kind of, you're going to live with that.
Yeah, but I would like to think I'd know what power I would get in advance. I mean, I'd like to think that would be on the sign-up sheet. If not, I think I'd probably just go with Decepticon, because, you know, the Decepticon powers tend to bottom out at amusingly useless, so as opposed to would not want to live with myself. So, yeah, if I don't get to choose my power in advance, I'll go with Decepticon. Otherwise, I think I could live as a He-Man villain acceptably.
Acceptably, you were at that. I make a modest living.
Well, you would still fit in your house, probably, right?
So. Yes.
XV.
No, I think I'm going to go with the Decepticon on this. Because, you know, you're big. You don't get shot. Well, you get shot, but you don't get hit. You can change your color whenever you like. And like Rob says, the power is really just to stop it, you know, entertainingly useless.
That's
but if
true.
if you're really lucky, though, you get to be one of those guys who can make clones of himself, and you never have to do your own work.
Now, will it be annoying when another guy shows up and he looks just like you, but he's colored just slightly different? Will you feel, like, somewhat threatened by that as a Decepticon?
I would imagine as a Transformer, that's just one of those things you have to accept, like somebody wearing the same shirt as you.
Ah, okay. Very nice, very nice. I will go with what XV said. I'll take a robot over being, like, a grotesque, over-muscled thing.
Spider-Man,
squirrel, monkey, man. six-pack in all. I think that's probably less than human. So, give me the no-human. Give me just, you know, like I said. Just give me my mind in a blender, you know, and just throw my brain in a tin can and let me go. Let me do my thing.
Well, you have to assume, too, you know, even if you're not one of those animal-based power He-Man villains, if you're one of the cyborgs, there's got to be some kind of annoying upkeep on the parts.
Yeah, because, I mean...
It probably itches, too.
Have you seen the price of gas lately? I mean, who wants to... Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to... And God knows where your gas intake is. I don't know. I mean, do you pour it down your mouth? No, because it'd burn the one, like, fleshy part of you. I mean, do you... I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Well, you shouldn't ask the questions then, John.
Well, it begs the question.
Now I'm obligated to answer.
See, but that's why you don't be a He-Man villain. Don't be a He-Man villain. That's why Triclops...
What it comes down to is good news. It's suppository.
Yeah, very nice. But Triclops is still frowning, so yeah, still not good enough.
Well, that's because he has no depth perception.
Oh, okay, that's true. Well, he can't see it coming. That's right. You just like, hey, Triclops, look that way and that way and that way.
But he has no peripheral vision either.
Bend over. No, he probably doesn't. That's sad. That's sad. Can you imagine? What good is having three eyes, three lenses, if they can only look in one direction at any given time, right? Because he could never look in all three directions, right? Wasn't that implied?
Probably.
Yeah.
This guy sucks.
Maybe shoot lasers out of one of those eyes, can't he?
Well, okay, great. He's still naked, and he's like, you know, still got two eyes that are just kind of sitting there. Anyway, 80s technology. What you gonna do? On that note, good show, guys.
2-1-0. Game over.
And it is.
This is a spell I use in my garden, Your Highness. Watch.
Wonderful! It's getting bigger!
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.